This morning we go to the Gospel of Matthew. We heard from Luke, we heard from John, and now we are in Matthew chapter 2. The story begins with the Magi. It reads as such: in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men or magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking this question: where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem was with him. He called together all the priests, all the scribes of the people. He asked them where this Messiah was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it's been written by the prophet. And these are the prophet's words: and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the Magi to come to him, and he learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, bring him back to me, so that I may also go and worship him. When they'd heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising. And it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then they'd opened their treasure chest. They offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Sometime after they left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, remain there until I tell you that it's safe. For Herod is going to search for the child and try to destroy him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother. By night, he went to Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets that said, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated. He sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem that were 2 years old or under, according to the time that had been learned from the Magi. And that was to fulfill what another prophet had spoken, this time Jeremiah, that said, a voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. May God add a blessing upon the reading and the hearing and the receiving of the word for us this morning. When I was a child, I remember watching NBC. And in those days on NBC, they used to have actually the Crystal Cathedral broadcast on regular network television. Can you believe that? And they used to have Robert Schuller. Right now, the Crystal Cathedral is no more. Robert Schuller with a robe just like mine used to, and this is what, this is the 10-second promo that they had for him. And he would say, don't just sit there. And then there would be a long, dramatic pause. And he'd say, do something. And I always wondered to myself, what is he talking about? What is the context of this sermon, this speech, that he's telling his people to don't just sit there, get up and do something? Maybe it was this passage from Matthew where Joseph got up and he went to Egypt. They just had a baby, an exhausting journey, 100 miles on foot, and an angel tells them to get up, pack up everything you have, go to Egypt, a place that's foreign to you, a place where you've never been, where you don't know anybody. Go, get up and go. Go now. Herod is after you. Get up and go. And he did. He trusted. There was no question. At least it doesn't say, no arguments, no delay in packing. He went. Just like that. Are you ready to get up and go this morning? Yes? No, probably not. We're still in our holiday hangover. We are still recovering from our feast, still tired from those journeys, seeing family and friends, being up late watching Ohio State football, whatever it is. We're a little tired. I'm a little tired. Last night I had a huge bad cold. I went to bed early. I took NyQuil. I'm a little drowsy, a little out of it today. But yet, our message today is to get up and go. We're going to sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Get up and go. Tell everyone about Jesus. Are we ready? Are we energized for the new year? I think it's ironic that every new year we kind of stumble into the new year a little lazy, a little tired. Maybe a week later we start making big plans for the new year. We're not like Joseph. We're not raring to go. We don't have our bags packed. We're still trying to unpack the bags. We're still trying to put away the gifts. We got all these thank you notes to write. Our minds aren't peppy. Yet, that is the message for us today, to get up and go. Because we've heard the angels time and time again, 4 weeks in a row, do not be afraid. Go see the baby. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Do not be afraid to take the journey to Bethlehem. Do not be afraid. God is in control. God has a plan. God has a plan for our future. Do not be afraid. God's message to us. Are we afraid still? Are we afraid to live? Are we afraid to live free? Are we afraid to live boldly? Do we hang back? Are we content? Are we apathetic even? There's a lot of apathy. There's a lot of consumerism out there where we will just sit and listen, where we will just sit and let others do. Well, we will sit and watch. Well, we will sit and appreciate what others say. Well, we will be worried about our own spiritual goals and not be inspired to do. I'm glad that we're here in church. I'm glad that we enjoy our worship service. But are we prepared to go and be church this year? To go and be the church? To go and act as the church? Jesus came to infuse life in those dead bones. Remember that scripture from Ezekiel? Those dry, dead bones. Jesus came to give us life into those bones, into the church, Jesus came to inspire. Jesus came to spark our imagination, to give life. Some of the popular Christmas songs get under my skin just a little bit. Mary, Did You Know? Beautiful song, but the words, if you listen to them, talk about how Jesus was born to die on the cross, which is true, but we focus way too much on that. Jesus came to live and to teach, to die, yes, and then to rise again from death, to live through the death, to breathe life into death, to live beyond the grave, to give us life, not just eternally, but to life abundantly. Here and now, I've said this again. This next month in January, we're going to be focusing on a sermon series about living, about life, about abundant life, about living well, about living better, getting the most out of what we have been blessed with. We only have one life, only one chance on this earth, and then there's eternity. Why not make the most of it? Why not seek to give back as much as you can? Why not seek to get out of it as much as you can? Jesus had 3 years of ministry. How much life did he infuse into the world in those 3 years? Jesus came to give life. Literally. To people like Lazarus, who was dead in the grave. To that little girl who was, quote, asleep. And his parents brought him into their house. Came to give sight to the blind, rubbing mud on somebody's eyes. Came to lift up the lame. That person that was lowered down through the roof by his friends. How many stories in the gospel about Jesus giving life? People who were hopeless, people who were thought they were dirt, prostitutes, tax collectors. Mentally, they thought they were dead. But God had life for them. God has life for us. In 2018, life for this church, life for us as a community, life for you personally. I saw a movie called The Space Between Us, and it's a great story. It's about a boy who actually grew up on Mars, and the circumstances behind it was that his mom was an astronaut, and she had gotten pregnant without knowing before she left. And so when they got there months later, because it takes months to get to Mars, she had her baby. And because of the environment, she passed away in childbirth. And so he was left with no parents, growing up with a bunch of scientists in domes on Mars. You can imagine the kind of life that the child had. He was very intelligent. He learned a lot. He was on the internet, just like we all are here on Earth. He met a young girl on Earth, and he passed himself off as somebody who lived in New York who had this brittle bone disease, and they became close, and he said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to take a visit. I'm going to visit you, and it just so happens that NASA made arrangements for him to come back to Earth because it said that he would be healthier if he had some interaction with people. He was 16 years old. He needed some real relationships with people. So they had a surgery in order to make his bones stronger, brought him back to Earth, and because he has a knack for technology and things like that, he escapes from his bubble existence on Earth, and he starts to wander around. He finds this these clothes that don't fit him, and so he's wandering around awkwardly. He gets to a bus station, and he doesn't quite know what to do. He finds some money, he gets a bus ticket, and he begins to ask people, what do you like most about Earth? What do you like most about Earth? And most people just stare at him, wondering, like, where are you from? What is wrong with you? It begins to rain. He goes outside in the rain while everyone else is flocking underneath this a shelter from the rain. He's out enjoying the rain. Well, as it turns out, his time on earth is detrimental to his health, and he begins to fail in health because his heart is too big. He grew up in gravity, less gravity than we have here on earth. And so he begins to get very sick. So his time on earth is limited, and yet he gets the most out of the life that he has. He meets people who are cynical. He meets his girlfriend who has a completely different take on life because of her experience. And she says to him at one case, it's like, well, why do you just blurt out whatever's on your mind? People don't do that. People have filters. If people just said whatever it is that they feel, people might actually be happy. You're not supposed to do that. And she realizes what she's saying and the ridiculousness of what she's telling him. Let's live more fully in life. Let's live out the blessing that God has given us. This life, this beautiful life that Jesus has for us, that God has for us through this gift of Jesus Christ. Let's praise God. Amen. And let's tell it on the mountain.